Welcome back, everybody, to Dress Down. Today, I have a very special guest. We have our resident Fairy Fox Cottage Core non-binary cosplayer amassing more than millions of followers across platforms, Bucket Brown.
Hello.
Yay! So, it's post-AX.
Yeah.
And we survived.
We survived.
And I love that for both of us. Yeah. We're both so awake.
I'm so awake right now.
Yeah.
You know, after 17 years, I thought maybe I'd get used to it. No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I also had a moment where I was like, after this long, you'd think that I would know how long things take to make. And I still don't understand how long things take make. Why is that?
When it gets me, it's like the pinning and sewing. It's like, I'm just going to do this. And I was like, oh, if I actually want it to sit right, I have to sit down and pin everything and then iron it and pin it again. And why do I never think of that?
Right. It's like, oh, I'll just sew this. Forget about all the steps.
No,
we're here. We made it. And I'm so excited. How was Anime Expo 2026?
It was good. It was definitely like a very different experience. I think after like having done so many of them, it's kind of odd to see how like commercialized it's become.
True.
And a lot less artist focused, which is kind of a little frustrating for me in some points. But at the same time, it's still so inspiring to see like some of my friends who came to see them inspired by all the big builds that they saw and go home wanting to just go even harder on their cosplays now because they had such a rush of like, oh my God, everyone looks so amazing and I want to be part of that. And so I'm so happy that the magic of AX that happened to me 17 years ago is still happening to the new people who come. So I'm like, right. It's still a great time.
It's transformed, but its message is still there.
Yeah, it's still there. But I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm just like, wow, I have the keeping up of the energy and all the stuff. And getting into cosplay is a little bit harder in the morning. And I used to get out there at like 9 a.m. And I'm like, maybe 2 o'clock.
Were you one of the people who did 2 costumes in one day?
Yeah, I would used to. I would like wake up really early, do one cosplay, and then like do another one for going out at night or something like that. No, that does not exist anymore.
Yeah, you. I remember had the Hooters version of Link that you
like
were
a Gatsby
in at night.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Which I'm just like, I think it was because my face started getting really angry at all the makeup changes, and I was like, maybe I should stop that.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea anymore.
Yeah, I feel it as well. There's always a like post-con Disney day, and I was like, y'all go without me this year because I couldn't will myself up.
Yeah, we did it yesterday, and it was a great time. It felt like a fifth day of con.
Mm-hmm.
And existing right now is we're here.
We're here.
We're
upright. We have makeup on.
You know what? Pat on the back. Pat on the back for that.
I'm excited. I agree.
Help.
So you do so much, I feel, across all of your different social media. You're obviously a cosplayer. You do YouTube, you stream, you have a VTuber. What would you associate yourself with the most?
I would say that I used to associate with TikTok back in the day. Like that's the platform that gave me the popularity that I have now and helped like grow my platform a lot. But I'm truly not really a video content person. I like photo content so much more, even though social media does not like photo content.
Yeah.
I just think it's so special to be able to go to a place and like really curate a set and like the way something looks and capture it. Like, I don't know, for me, because some people do film in that exact aspect, but I don't know how to edit well or anything like that. I like the control of a photo and like really curating that space. So I would say that Instagram would be more of my like main platform these days. YouTube is an interesting experience. I don't know. Out of all the platforms, that comment section is
wild.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Absolutely.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know when it changed, but I feel the same about YouTube as well.
I think it's because they just have like it's less algorithmic into like niche content. So like a lot of people will see it and it's not exactly the audience that you were anticipating.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like if I put something out on Instagram, it'll be like, oh, it's a cosplay content. It will go to a cosplay audience. Mm-hmm. Whereas YouTube just gets pushed out to like very random audiences that have no idea what you're doing. And
Yeah. They're
like, why do I see a person in pink hair in fantasy clothing right now?
Yeah.
And I like car content.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, what the fuck is this?
And I'm like, it's not my fault, please. Please don't hate me.
Well, you did an incredible Pokemon cosplay this weekend. We did our third gen of Pokemon, and Yeah. We will be continuing next year.
Yes.
For the next, I don't know,
how
6
many?
Years? However many.
Yeah, yeah. I
Pokemon
don't even know how many gens there are now.
Me neither.
I kind of stopped after Gen 5, so I'm just like, You guys can maybe continue without me after that point because I don't know anything.
Kelly's going to be carrying the torch by herself at the end of the line. I can do this.
Yeah.
Do you have any Pokemon in mind for fourth gen?
I'd really like to do Shaymin, which is the little green hedgehog legendary Pokemon.
Cute.
Or I don't legendary or mythic. I don't, for the Pokemon fans out there, I don't really know which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Shaymin, because it's so druidic to me, and I really like druids, so.
Yeah, that is your brand, I would say. I associate, when I think of you, I think of, like, a very strong, like, cottagecore brand.
I just want to go live in the forest.
In the forest with the flowers and the vines. And
I'm going to have the forest on me at that point.
Right.
I'd love to do, like, a green cloak, like, filled with, like, flowers and moss and everything, kind of carrying
Beautiful.
The forest on my back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a vibe.
Have you always been sort of into like fantasy culture ever since you were young?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the rest of my family isn't really. Like
really?
My mom hasn't watched Lord of the Rings, neither has my dad really.
Ooh.
And it's super bizarre to me. I don't really know where it came from. I always kind of joke attribute it to the fact that like the rest of my family all was born in Southern California and I was born in Washington.
Mm.
And so I'm just like, the forest spirits claimed me up there and they
uh-huh.
were just like, you stay up here. But yeah, it's always been since my childhood, my imagination has always been running rampant and always towards fantasy, but I truly don't know where it came from.
So if you didn't watch Lord of the Rings with your parents, I feel like that's normally what I hear
yeah.
on the podcast is people say they watch Star Wars or with their
yeah.
dad or their mom.
They don't even do sci-fi really either.
That
yeah.
is wild. So where did you learn about it?
My cousin watched Lord of the Rings and we would watch it at their house and do that when I was like 6 too. So, but I'm like, I should probably not have been watching Lord of the Rings when I was like 6, but that's
hey.
Fine. You know, it's fine.
It's fine.
But I feel
it all turned out okay.
I feel like my family, whether they don't do fantasy or sci-fi content, they have a very strong art and design focus.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandpa's an architect. My mom was an interior designer. And so there was always that like appreciation of a good artistic design. And I found that within sci-fi and fantasy because I loved the concept art and the like the way that costumes were made and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
my parents didn't really engage in those shows, but still had an appreciation for like my interest in them because I was cultivating an artistic like love.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just like, okay, do it. I don't really get this one, but like my mom was a huge David Bowie fan.
Mm.
And so like the costumes were so avant-garde. And so that's like also where I got my love for costumes was the dressing up. And she loves dressing up. But I guess now that I think about it, like my mom did set design for theater. So there's that whimsical aspect of like building something that's artistic for people
mm-hmm.
to enjoy in that respect. And probably just combined like the media aspect and then the craft aspect.
It was in your blood one way or another.
Yeah.
I do feel like what you were saying about having a very artistic vision for something is something that you execute very well. I feel like you have a very strong aesthetic, and I think that you carry it with you for each piece of content that you make. It's very consistent. You have good branding.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was my background was marketing, so I think that that's what I focus on. I'm oh, great brand. Yeah. Great brand.
I think that I, like, if I was going to say I have like a hyperfixation, it's about design and art in general, like as a whole. Like, because I can get, I'm not a car person, but I could really respect and love the design of like a like classic car or like a like a sports car or something like that. But the same goes for like buildings or even just like simple like kitchenware. I'm just like, wow, fascinating how you would think about this, and it functions so well, and it's so bizarre. Like, I'm just like, I'm very design focused in all elements of life, no matter what. Yeah.
That sounds very much like architecture as well. When you were talking about
form versus function.
Yeah. Well, you're bio on Instagram mentioned that you are consistently inconsistent. Would you like to explain that for the class?
I feel like that it goes in a multitude of directions where it's like, I don't have a very consistent posting schedule. So you're going to see me when I decide you see me, because I can like post, like sometimes I'll be like, I'll post like four times every day, and then sometimes you won't see me for 2 months.
Right.
Which is bad. But I think it's consistently inconsistent is that I don't really have a strong niche, where some people do anime cosplays, some people do strictly fantasy or Ren Faire or stuff like that. I like to dip my toes into everything. And while that does hurt my social media algorithm a lot of the time, because social media is more about like building an audience of like a consistent type of like thing that will be relatable to your audience. I'm all across the board. And so I just like putting it out there like, hey, you may fall in love with my has-been hotel content, but I'm going to be posting myself as a fairy in the forest the very next day. And I may not touch that fandom again for like a year. So don't get too attached
to anything. Don't get too attached to anything. I am a fully formed human.
Like, yeah, that's why I'm like, I guess it goes into like, love the design aspect of it. Don't fall in love with my one cosplay. Like, just enjoy my art and not the one fandom that I'm in, because it's not probably going to be there again.
Do you find then that you have a fan base of people who are very ride or die for you because you are so multifaceted in that way?
I think so. I have a lot of – I love my audience a lot, and I feel like when I compare fan interactions to other people that I've seen, I feel very lucky. A lot of them are very genuine, very sweet. They want to know cosplay tips. But it goes into that I feel like they think I'm a very genuine person. And I hope – I mean, I feel like I'm a genuine person, but I love that it comes across to people. And they feel very comfortable sharing stuff with me. I think that the fact that I feel so free to be myself a lot of the time, which is goes into the consistently inconsistent, that I just don't care – is very special to a lot of younger audiences that may be scared to be cringe online or show their personality or anything like that. And I think that's special to them. So I do have an audience that, like, I don't know. I don't know if they're ride or die for me, but I love the interactions that I get with them very much, because they seem very interested and just like, you've just inspired me to cosplay and I want to do better, or like, you know, like I want to go to a Ren Faire now, or I want to try doing fantasy content if they're an anime person, or I want to try watching some anime if they're a fantasy person. Like, I just like doing those little introductions and stuff like that. But yeah.
I think genuine is also kind of what I was getting at as well. I think that you do feel very open and honest online, which is very hard sometimes.
It is. For a long time, I would have interactions that, like, I'd wear my heart on my sleeve, and it's easy for people to attack that very much, and I would get very,
it's very
depressed
vulnerable
and sad sometimes. But then I'd have people – particularly because I'm non-binary and I would talk about that stuff sometimes, or I talk about mental health and depression and having like, you know, symptoms of ADHD, symptoms of autism, and how that affects my life and work. Mm-hmm. And it meant a lot to people to see me talk about those things, but it also drew people who really wanted to attack me for talking about those things as right. well. Mm-hmm. And I would get very depressed sometimes. But then again, the people who would come up and thank me for talking about it, and like, or like the DMs I would get that were so special, and they're like, you know, I was in a family that was like abusive and I finally got out, and I feel very like, because you were so free with yourself, I finally feel like free to be myself, and like you helped me find that. And then I get like, I'm like just crying with them, and then we're just like uh-huh. hugging each other, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's...
It's high risk, high reward.
Yeah, high risk, high reward. Definitely. Oh my God. But yeah, definitely I've had some stuff where I'm just like, oh boy, people are wild online sometimes with the comments. Yeah. And it's fine.
Why do you think that people, I mean, this is a lot to unpack, yeah, but why do you think that people are so comfortable making such negative comments to people online? Because I have my own theories, but yeah. I'm curious.
I think that there's a lot of fear in expressing yourself very genuinely.
That is also so, what I was going to say.
Yeah. So when they see someone do that, it is a like, it becomes like, it's not, I guess it's jealousy, but not like particularly jealousy. It's like, oh, maybe like I'm angry. They get angry at themselves that like, I can't do that. And I don't like that you're so free with it, because I have all these insecurities in my own thing. And so I want to lash out to bring you back down to my level, because you're making me feel really, yeah, just insecure about your freedom to be able to be yourself and that type of thing. And, mm-hmm. and, but that's exactly why I do what I do, is to kind of be that like exposure therapy into like, hey, it's really okay to be yourself. And like, yeah. you're going to find people who love you. And like, it's not, it's cringe is free.
To be cringe is to be cringe free.
Is to be free, that's, honestly.
That's what but, they yeah. say. Yeah, I completely agree, 100% agree. It seems like people are just intimidated by the concept of somebody putting themselves out there because they want to do it too, but they're very scared.
And they probably had trauma in the past of someone like talking them down when they did try, or like family that was abusive, or like stuff like that. There's so many things that are so hard, and it is a lot to unpack, like why someone would do that. But I think it's genuinely fear-based.
Yeah, yeah. I think so as well. So when you first started to where you are right now, would you say that you do more original designs versus cosplays one-to-one? Or do you think that you did more original designs in the beginning and it switched? Mm. Or do you think that you are doing the same amount?
I feel like I've always been an original design person, because I started off cosplaying doing Pokemon Gajinkas. Mm. Like that was what Anime Expo was for me every year, was a different Pokemon. But the fact that the Pokemon was so freeing in that design ability, because you can interpret it, a Pokemon in a million different ways. Everyone has their own interpretation. Mm-hmm. But it allowed me to take something I was comfortable with and then make a design of it and do my own flair. I think a lot of one-to-one always made me feel kind of scared sometimes.
Yeah.
Because of people being mean online.
Yeah.
But like I'm a very big perfectionist. And so I find more comfort in doing designs that I can have my own personal touch in, rather than doing a one-to-one where I will start nitpicking everything. Recently at Anime Expo, I tried to do a one-to-one of a Magic the Gathering character, Jace. And instead of celebrating the work that I did, and which was a huge feat for me in the sewing department, because I'm not a seamstress, I just kind of started to tear apart everything that was wrong with it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely will hide behind the comfort of doing my own designs. But it's also like I genuinely love designing things. I always was sketching in high school of like fashion designs and costume designs. I wanted to be a costume designer growing up. And like the one I did at Anime Expo Jirachi, I literally had a sketch design that I did in high school.
So crazy.
For it. And like, uh-huh. So it's like come full circle. But I do one-to-ones occasionally, but I always find more comfort in doing a character that's my own, something like that.
I relate to that a lot. I also really find comfort in designing my own character,
yeah.
Especially because when it comes to video game characters or anime characters, the proportions can be kind of insane.
No, everyone's so, drawn in a very regular way.
Right. I think the joke is that the Little Mermaid's waist is the same size as her face or something like that.
yeah, and, when I think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's really hard to, especially when you are taking something that's 2D and making it 3D, make it translate onto a real human person. And then you have to make those decisions where do you want it to be more accurate to the character or do you want it to look better on you or in person?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Do you normally sway one way or the other when it comes to stuff like that?
I feel like I used to try to do it as like a perfect recreation. And lately I've been trying to do it more to my comfort level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the proportions can be so weird sometimes. Also, doing a one-to-one, people will still disagree with how you did that one-to-one. Maybe
right.
They see – like, because if it's a 2D character, maybe they see the fabric choice entirely different or, like, how that – like, the metal pieces should look and stuff like – and so, like, you'll still get, like, mean comments about that that even if you do a one-to-one because that's not how they saw that texture or something, which is – absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, with recently with Hazbin Hotel, I will take the character, like say Rosie, which is a cosplay of mine that a lot of people know. Instead of doing the one-to-one, I did the same silhouette and features or like color palette because it is a cartoon character. And we have to realize that in animation, a lot of those designs are extremely simplified for the sake of animation.
Right.
And so I think it gives a lot of leeway into having fun with the design because you can interpret it into like, here are all the details that the animators couldn't animate.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I like started doing that. Cause I'm like, why not just add my own flair to it? Keep it familiar, keep it recognizable. But like, yeah, I don't know. When you do a one-to-one, people are still just like annoyed with you and I'm
they'll
like,
find something
and
the
find
internet
something.
Will find something
yeah
the wig's not the right shade of pink and I'm like you know what you're probably right especially when it's animation because or comic books or something because each person is drawing it a little bit differently where when I did Haunter for the group last year I looked at so many photos of Haunter where some of them were purple and some of them were like fuchsia.
Oh my God, yes.
And
yes.
I was like, which one is he? I don't know which color Haunter is.
So,
I thought
do
I did
what
and
do?
Now
what
I
do?
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and
always
it's
fun
hard.
When a character has a different color eye in every single image you've ever seen.
Like Misa God. From Death Note. Yeah.
So
I cosplayed Misa last year as well, and I looked at so many photos of her and was like, in some photos her eyes are blue, and in some photos her eyes are like a honey brown, in some photos they're very dark,
yeah.
In some photos they're kind of green, and I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
super fun.
There was something in comic books as well, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was that nobody could be black. Like, nobody's hair could be black. Like, we couldn't use the color black.
Oh, yeah. So it's, like, slightly blue.
So it's slightly blue.
Or, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
which
like,
is annoying on a wig.
Right. So when you're trying to figure out what color wig to have, is it, like, okay, is it supposed to be, like, a black wig? Or is it supposed to be, like, a navy blue, dark blue?
Oh, yeah.
Because they always used blue as, like, a highlight color.
Yeah, that one's a weird one because like you have to like understand like what are the artists working with now we're interpreting it into real life. also just the costume pieces that artists will draw that completely make no sense to wear on someone's body, right, or like connect, or like you're just staring at it like, okay, I'm going to have to invent something entirely new that's right, never done before to attach this piece of armor to my body, because what is that?
How is it floating there?
How is it? What is that? Yeah. Right. It's fun stuff.
Well, walk me through how you made Jirachi for this weekend.
So when I do, like, for example, like a Gajinka, I really will study the Pokemon. I'll look at, like, the silhouette and the shape. Those are the important things for me because I want it to be recognizable to whatever Pokemon I'm being. So the important things that I saw about Jirachi was the draped sleeves that they have. Pokemon gender, I don't fucking know. the star hat and then the tails off the bottom. And then I'm, okay, so those are the important things. So I got to make sure my sleeves kind of have like a bell sleeve thing. I got to have the tails. I got to have the hat. From then I'm like, the color palette is just yellow, white, blue. Mm-hmm. There are other interpretations that other people do. Well, they'll make the yellow be parts of the outfit too, but I'm much more of a one-to-one where I want the outfit. Like Jirachi just has white.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like, I want a white outfit to be, and then just the yellow of the bow and the yellow of the hat. So then I start sketching off of that. Because Jirachi is a wish Pokemon and we always do like a fantasy kind of mix with it, I wanted it to be bard or sorceress. But then also very cutesy.
Yeah.
Because that's the way that the character's drawn. It's very small. It's like, it's a cute Pokemon. So yeah, like, I'm not going to turn it into a knight per se, or right, like do a heavy armor build. I want it to be soft and approachable. So like, I love Lolita fashion and J fashion. So taking elements of that, like with like Prince type puff pants and like the sleeves that have a lot of lace and trim, and making that elevated in that way is very fun. But then also just like, yeah, I think the color palettes and silhouettes are the most important thing for me when I'm designing like a Pokemon onto a human body, just to make it like recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just get to have fun with like detailing afterwards. Like once you see like, okay, if I look at this and I can tell, like, without all the details, I can tell it's Jirachi, then I get to be like, okay, let's have fun now. Let's embellish. Let's detail and zhuzh it up and everything. But so that was really fun. I was just, like, gluing tons of trim to my outfit and, like, oh, it's a star Pokemon, so I'm going to buy star tights that have, like, things, or, like, start to add, like, all the, like, little nods to, like, oh, what the character is about. And having the giant eye on my stomach because Jirachi sleeps for 1,000 years and then wakes up and they have like a really menacing eye on their stomach that just comes out of nowhere.
Just watching
and
you.
And it's just watching. And I'm like, and I was like, yeah, I want that. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like always for the weird moment, I'm just like, yes, I need to have the weird thing on. But yeah.
Is that how you usually conceptualize all of your original characters?
I feel like for Pokemon, yeah, because if I looked at like Schmurgle from last year, it was very much a silhouette of the Pokemon, but I really wanted to have that paintbrush tail connected to me. So I made like a chain that wrapped around my body with the, everyone called it a meteor hammer paintbrush, because I was transferring it into a monk. And I was like, okay, what silhouettes would be like transferable to the Pokemon? But I also love the way other people do it. Some people might not do a one, like kind of a very focused silhouette like I do. And I think that's very fun. It's just, that's just the way I do it. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about your jesters? Because you do a lot of original characters and a lot of them are very beautiful, for lack of a better, I mean, I wish there was a better word than beautiful. Like, they're very detail oriented and like very articulate to like all these little details. And so if you were to make something like that where there isn't like a reference whatsoever, what would you, how would you start doing
that?
Oh
man, I hit up Pinterest.
Yeah, that's
love
just
hitting up
so
Pinterest,
true, yeah.
You know? I love, you know, because I'm because earlier I mentioned I'm very design focused. So like, I look at, you know, fashion from like high fashion stuff to like street fashion to like anywhere around the world. And then, yeah, I hit up Pinterest and I start looking at like, okay, I like that hat style. Oh, I like the tailcoat thing on this one and like, you know, different elements. And then I start to like kind of mix and match in my mind of like what would maybe I would want to do of like my favorite elements of all like the other designs of people. And then it's very much from their dopamine chasing of like, yeah, I just really like yellow and green. So everything is going to be yellow and green. Uh-huh. And maybe it will have a leaf aesthetic on it because I like nature a lot, or the sun, or honey and bees because that's attached to everything I do.
Right.
But yeah, it's always hitting up Pinterest. It's taking inspiration from other people. Like when I was younger, I loved going to museums just to see. I love looking at other people's art to take that inspiration. I think it's a big thing that's important. I get a lot of younger cosplayers that want to do cosplay as a job. And it's like, but they don't really want to go to college because they want to become an influencer and cosplayer. And they'll like start to not really pay attention to their education just to do makeup and cosplay. And I'm like, I think there's such an importance in diversifying your education because cosplay is math based. It does have science. It has historical elements too. If you are really good with like costume design, you have to know the historical aspects of like a corset or like high heels or like stockings or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And knowing those things and being interested in those things will make your design so much better.
Yeah.
I think like if you look at movies that are really popular, like Star Wars, there's so much world cultural aspects that like got taken to design an entirely new world. But like the Jedi robes were obviously based on like Japanese like kimonos and stuff like that. But then like they have so many different like worldly inspirations, and that's why it becomes like a very popular movie because the designs are so strong. So like I think that there's so much like value in really loving learning and education, and maybe like getting out to a museum or like going to a fashion show or just like being observant of nature, because so many aspects of like I love nature and going out and like looking at moss and like, ooh, the textures are so fun and the shapes, and like there's just so much to entertain. I don't know.
Right. There's, I mean, that's to say that you have to be in love with what you're doing as well, right? Like you if you want to be an influencer cosplayer because that is your end goal versus being excited about the process, it's like lends itself to very different,
and people can tell. That's the thing, people can really tell. I think that passion really shows through more than people anticipate. There's a lot of people like, if I have a good wig and I have makeup and I'm wearing an outfit, like I'm gonna make it popular. But it's like, you have to have a good personality too. Like it's not like, like you have to have some sort of spark with it that's gonna like show people that you really care about what you're doing, and people want to know that you care. And I see that a lot these days where it's like, yeah, maybe you can become an influencer based off this, but like, is there passion behind it?
Right.
Truly.
Yeah.
And I do think people can tell nowadays. Like, I feel like the celebrity culture is going more into like niche internet celebrities because the passion is truly, truly there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something to relate to that.
And you get to know somebody more because they're sharing more of their life than just like little snippets.
Which is like, you know, parasocial can be dangerous. But
right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But I think it's easier to I don't know, relate to somebody who's sharing more of themselves online. Mm-hmm. So I think it's easier for people to be bigger fans, you know?
So you can just tell when someone's into the stuff that they're doing, even if it's like a silly video that's not even like your craft or whatever, but you can just tell that someone's like having a good time filming it.
Yeah.
Like it's not just because they need to post it for numbers. It's like, no, we're having fun. And
you can feel
it. Yeah. It's the feeling vibe.
Right. I agree. So you said that you were into fashion design. Is that something you still think about pursuing? like outside of cosplay?
I don't know about fashion as much. I honestly have a hard, like, I have an easier time designing costumes than I do have dressing myself.
Okay.
If I do a fashion forward outfit, it takes like the same level of effort for me as a cosplay does.
Okay.
I'm very much just a comfy, cozy type person, but, I think, I don't know, a lot of fashion designers, I kind of like that actually, but I think that fashion design, maybe no, but I would love to be in a place where I could help people have fun dressing themselves, or like I've always kind of wanted to do a series of like trying to help people learn how to layer for Ren Faire. Because it is such a thing that is kind of intimidating to do.
Like,
yeah. So learning colors and textures, like I feel like it'd be more the background aspect of like introducing how to blend those things to become something bigger, and like being a little less scared to be like, okay, this thing doesn't really like, you know, like by itself, it's a very strong statement piece. How am I going to work it into other things and like add it on? And like, I want people to like really get like really decorative with it.
I think that would be an incredible series. Yeah. I would want to watch it because I feel like I don't know the exact steps a lot of the time, where I'm kind of just like going based on vibes,
yeah,
where I'm like, I think I need something right here, but yeah, I don't know what. So I'm just going to keep looking and like trying stuff until I find it. But if there was something like that, I would totally watch it because I'd be like, all right, now I understand what it is that I'm looking for, you know?
And that does, like, that's where it comes from. It's like you're putting on an outfit and then you start to be like, what's an element that's missing? Maybe I need an asymmetrical element, or maybe I need a headpiece. Maybe I need like something like the shape's falling flat on one side. What am I going to add to it? Or like, can I pin up this skirt with a safety pin to give it a different shape? And then maybe I can add a skirt under it that has a different texture to like kind of give it some like weird layering. But I think that's a really intimidating thing for people to like be like, I can change my outfit from the way it's supposed to be worn.
Right.
Yeah.
It is, and especially if you don't know what you're looking for, it can be very financially devastating because think that something is going to look a certain way and then you try it on and you're like, oh no, that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
So not everybody has like that ability to experiment, you know?
Yeah.
Where I think that we've accumulated so many costume pieces that maybe it's easier for us, but I think that that would be so helpful.
I think it's like, it's fun because like, I don't know, I'll buy pieces from like thrift stores and consignment stores that I wouldn't necessarily buy for myself, or it's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then I work it into an outfit and it ends up being the perfect piece. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like buying something that you're not like 100% on can end up working with a piece that you do love really well,
yeah,
and end up being like the perfect like accessory,
a little complimentary.
But like, it is weird sometimes. I'll pick up things and I'm like, I don't like this, but it's weird and it's colorful, so I'm gonna take it home. I'll see what I can do with it.
I don't know what to do with it yet, but it will work one day.
There's like a little spark there, so I'm figure it out.
So right now, when you think of your like cosplay skills as if it were like a D&D sheet, for example, what would be your strongest stat and what would be your dump stat? And I'll go first. I'll go first to give you time.
Please.
I will. I think armor, like foam crafting, is probably
my. Oh my god, you're a queen in that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I think that's my strongest, and then I think my dump stat is probably sewing.
similar.
Maybe wig styling, but maybe sewing.
Do we count content as part of it or no?
Yeah.
No, okay. Because like.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like, as we talked about, the design aspect is definitely my strongest. I have a very strong vision for how I want something to look. But then going off of that, I love foam work. That's something I love. Painting is a strong stat, like but not as not as high. I think my mixing of textures and colors is really strong. Sewing is a stat that I'm actively working on. That's like a dump stat. And I have to physically like and mentally push myself to be better at it right now. And that was my New Year's resolution, that I was like, I'm going to be less afraid of my sewing machine. And I'm doing it, but it's painful. But also like my dump stat is like, I kind of forget that cosplay is my job in the sense that I need to keep up with it on social media and like post things. And I get way too focused and passionate about what I'm making.
Yeah.
That I forget about that stuff.
You know,
all the time.
That is so relatable. I also forget about that stuff all the time.
Someone just commented on TikTok like, fuck it, you haven't posted in 2 months. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, it's been 2 months.
It's been 2 months.
Oh my God.
Just flies by.
Yeah. But like, yeah, better. I want to learn how to do 3D printing. I want to learn the tech aspects. That would be really, really fun. Or doing like adding lighting into my cosplay or doing some like very technical elements. Those are definitely my weakest points. Anything that could use a render. I don't know. Nope.
Right.
That okay. So that would be my lowest stat. I'm just like, I don't mess with computers at all.
Okay. Yeah. Tech stuff.
No, tech computer stuff is bad. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always hands on.
I feel like I am kind like I don't know how to do a lot of that the right way. And is that good or bad? I don't know. But like I could figure out how to like make it passable in maybe a different way.
Innovation like, in the face of yeah, adversity of it.
Exactly. And that's what cosplay is all
exactly,
about.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Is it the right way? No. But did I make it work? Yes.
Yes.
And then someone will look at it later and be like, how did you even do that? And you're like, you know, I couldn't tell you.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't look at the inside of my costume.
No.
Stand 5 feet away, please.
It's like I really wanted my Haunter staff to have smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like determined for that to be the case. And I couldn't figure it out. And I realized later on that I should have made all these channels inside of the 3D printed things.
Okay,
and I didn't.
Yeah.
So it was like me the day before the con, like with a Dremel and like the longest drill bit of the entire world. Just like,
can I get one this large,
to, like,
please?
Create like a tunnel inside of his head. Anyway.
No, that's so real. The woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like when you're like, oh, I was supposed to do that step maybe 5 steps ago.
Should have thought about that before.
Before I glued it all or like sewed it all together and painted it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. You know who's great at that? Stella.
Oh, yeah.
Stella's a forward thinker.
Yeah. No, very, like, I try to be better about, like, my planning. And so, like, I'll, like, write on a piece of paper, like, hey, don't forget that you're supposed to do this step.
Yeah.
Before you get here. Because you're really excited about this step.
Right.
And you want to do that one first. But, like, hey, remember, you got to do that one.
All that.
Or else that all that other stuff just goes out the window and you're gonna hate yourself later.
Yep. I was getting the last of my Groudon stuff done. And I was like, can you guys help me 3D print it? And Jeff's like, yeah, I'll print it right now, sending it to the printers. And Stella stopped us and was like, can you fit your arm in that? And I was like, I don't know. And she measured it and she was like, definitely can't fit your arm
in
that.
See, that's where, on the 3D printing stuff, oh my God, I would totally have that happen to me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then just wasting all that filament. That would be so painful.
Right.
Shout out Stella on
that
one.
I know. I was like, I didn't even think about that. That didn't even occur to me even a little bit that I wouldn't be able to fit my arm in that. I just wanted the thing done.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts is painting. So I know what you mean where I'm like, I just want to get to the part where I get to paint.
Oh,
and
then
like.
Yeah.
The rest of it. Because
then I can just like, the best part about it is I can just sit with a TV show. Because I'm definitely, my ADHD brain like needs like a background music or like something going on.
Yeah,
but
me too.
My favorite is when I get to watch a little show.
Yeah.
That's my best. But like sometimes I'm doing stuff like when I have to do like sanding or like Dremel work and I'm like down in the studio and I'm like have my respirator mask on and it's super loud. I'm like, I just want to be like
I'm so
painting
bored.
Or rhinestoning just in front of my TV right now because that's really enjoyable. It's so zen. Mm-hmm. It's such a delightful little like zen moment.
It really is. Your like brain, especially ADHD brain, you get to kind of like zone out. I read somewhere and I didn't actually fact check any of this. So
this is not scientific advice.
But I read somewhere recently that ADHD lends itself to kind of chaotic or stressful environments like escape rooms, which is my like thing.
Deadlines.
Yeah, deadlines. Because rather than having so many inputs all the time, you're focused on one thing specifically and you can ignore all of the other things and it almost feels restful because you aren't taking in so much at once and you're only focusing on one specific task. And I feel that in my bones. I almost welcome CONCRUNCH sometimes because I'm like, well, then I can ignore emails and all this other stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was the whole point of like not posting in 2 months. I was like, oh, I was working on projects and I was really into that part. But like, yeah, the ADHD, it's like I had this moment where I'm like, do I really want to do conventions a lot anymore? I kind of have this like stress of performance and perfectionism. And when something goes wrong, like I get like mentally very overwhelmed. Like some stuff didn't go well for me at Anime Expo. And I started to like spiral into like, I'm not doing a good enough job. I'm not, like my fans are going to be disappointed in me, blah, 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 blah. And like, it's just, it's so bad. So, but like, I was like, maybe I don't want to do cons anymore. Cause like, I keep putting myself in this mental stress. And then I'm like, if you don't put yourself in cons, when are you going to have a deadline that's going to push you to build something big? Like, cause like the Jace cosplay I just did, if I didn't have a deadline, I wouldn't have the motivation to sit down and sew for hours and hours on my own volition.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing telling me like, oh, you guys, there's no tiger on my back. I have to have a tiger on my back.
Yeah.
And it's, is that healthy? No.
Right.
But it's, that's what happens.
The way that our brains work, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. I try to, like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start this. I don't listen to myself.
I don't either.
I don't listen to myself at all. I give great advice. Do I listen to it? No.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I, not just myself. Other people give me advice. Like, you know how everybody posts on Facebook, like, 2 weeks to Anime Expo, 3 weeks to Anime Expo. Is everyone ready? And I'm like, the whole comment section is always, shut up.
Yeah. I, like, was literally commenting on the official page. I was like,
no.
Don't
say that to me right now.
Don't even.
No. And it's like, oh, it's time to start. Time to start.
Ah. Oh, yeah. I'd be like, time to start. And then I'm like still scrolling on my phone, like doom scrolling. And I'm like literally like, I'll be like sitting at my sewing machine.
Yeah.
I'm like, you should just, it's right there.
Do you also procrastinate the thing that you should be doing by doing something else that you could be doing at any other point in time?
Oh, I like, my closet hadn't been cleaned for like
That's what I did too.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I feel like all of us cleaned our closets this
week. Like, yeah, it was like I hadn't cleaned it since like I had been doing like event after event after event. And like I hadn't been home. And then when I was home, I'd be working on something else. So I hadn't had time. And like the rare day I do like veg out, I'm like, I don't want to do my closet. So like it got to the point where, yeah, I went to go clean my closet, which is incredible.
Yeah.
That's how bad it got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, and even on like my costumes, like I doing Fern from Critical Role for KatsuCon, I was doing all the rhinestoning first because I didn't want to sew the fawn legs because they seemed like a giant, massive problem that I was like, I don't want to tackle that. So I'm going to, ooh, look at the pretty little rhinestones.
These things that I get to do instead.
Look at the sparkles.
Yeah. I also cleaned my closet. That's so funny. I was like, I'll start my costumes tomorrow. Today, I'm going to clean my closet. I mean, and then I spent 8 hours.
Yeah.
Two days in a row.
Just in the Pokemon chat doing her entire craft room clean. Yeah. Because I'm like,
rehanging shelves.
I was like, you know what? I totally get it. There's no judgment here.
Absolutely.
I've been there.
So what TV show or anime were you watching while you were working on Anime Expo stuff?
Ooh. I didn't get to watch a lot of shows during this one because I was sewing and my sewing machine wasn't at like a TV. So, but when I was doing it, I was Demons of the Shadow Realm, which is a new anime that's out right now, but that's like a weekly. So I would be like watching the episode.
Gotcha.
But I was rewatching a lot of like my favorites, in dub because I normally watch in sub. But the dubs are so good. You can't craft with it. The dubs are getting like so good these days. Like I've been watching anime for a really, really long time. And let's be real, the dub direction in older anime was not always the best.
Right.
And then they would change the names to be like English names. Like it'd be like, yeah, my name's Usagi, like, you know, from Sailor Moon, but I'm named Rebecca. I don't know what they like named her in the English. And I'm just like, I can't.
Oh, I don't remember either, but I know.
Yeah. But like, I can watch it as a joke now and
Serena.
Laugh. Serena or something like that. But so I watched a lot of my favorites in depth. So I rewatched Frieren, Apothecary Diaries, Dungemeshi, Shangri-La Frontier. Those are the ones I remember, but I was just going through. Also, I watched The Untamed again, which is, you know, Mada Azushi, my Chinese love boys. It was good stuff.
I went down a Bricks and Minifigs rabbit hole.
With that story, you know what?
That's so valid. Bricks and Minifig documentary on YouTube.
Oh no, I was watching a lot of Mythic Kitchen.
Oh,
The Last Meals podcast. Mm-hmm. I was like, I loved because I love food, so I was so curious what people would choose for their last meals, and so I was watching that. That's what I watched for Anime Expo. Now I remember.
But now it's last meals. Yeah. Do you have a last meal? Have you thought about that?
See, I thought about it a few times. I think there's a lot of different variations. Some people do like, oh, I want to indulge and do all the fanciest things I could as my last meal. When I thought about my last meal, I started thinking of like all my comfort foods or like nostalgic foods that like maybe they're not even really that good, but they had a lot of memories associated to them.
Yeah.
Like there's this Midwestern Southern dish that my family made that is very much just, dump cans in a casserole pan. That's like cream corn souffle. And we'd have it at Thanksgiving. It's white trash. It's absolutely just like it's literally cans of cream corn with crushed saltines and butter and some onion. And I would want that at my table because of the memories associated with it. And so like I don't know what my full meal would be because that's a really hard question.
It is such a hard question.
But I think I started to go towards like maybe not the best of foods, but the ones that held the most memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think so too.
I just wanted to knew I was dying, I would want to be surrounded by the things that like gave me the happiest moments in my life or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's hard. I've thought about it a few times and I don't think I've landed anywhere really.
It's difficult.
It is.
And then also it's like that question is like, oh, what's your favorite book? And then you just suddenly forget
everything you've ever read in your entire life.
I'm like, cool. That's so like, yeah, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, what food do I like?
What do I like?
Because I'm a very like wide range eater too. So like I'm like,
are there any staples that you have to go to when you're in LA?
Ooh, we always get at Anime Expo. There's a Kimbap Paradise. Mm-hmm. It's really good kimbap rolls. We love going to Wat Thai Temple for like a Thai market on the weekends. There's a really good pad Thai stand, though I heard that the stand switches every other week. So I don't want to tell people to go get the pad Thai there and then like, you know, it not be the one. Because it happened to us. Christo went to go get it when we were here for a Ren Faire and it was not the right booth. And he had driven like 40 minutes to go get it.
Oh, shit.
And it was not the right pad Thai. But yeah, and getting Mexican food, any type of Mexican food down here is just, we don't get it in Portland. Like there's a couple places, but it's not
the same.
It's not the same. Unfortunately,
Yeah. That is one thing that I love about living here is that there's so much good food everywhere all the time that you don't even – you almost take it for granted because you get so used to it and then go somewhere else and I
– Luckily, Portland is really good. Like, Portland has a really good food scene. We've – like, I think for the second year in a row, like, I don't quote me on this, I think we, like, won the highest James Beards Award, like, around the country. So that's, like, above Chicago and New York and stuff like that. I really do like the Portland food scene. It's just that there's not really like a good Mexican food. There's a lot of really good Vietnamese and Thai food there. And then a lot of what is like American Nouveau fusion farm to table stuff. So like because we have such an agriculture-based food scene up there, everything is not really like Sysco. It's from local farms. Gotcha. And so like even the simplest of like salads and meals and stuff like that, the quality of the ingredients are so delicious that it's just, so good.
But if somebody were to visit Portland, would you have food recommendations for them?
Laundry list.
Oh, yeah?
Laundry list, yeah.
What's like your top three?
There's a pizza place I really like called Pizza Thief. And they have like a sourdough crust and it's a really good thin crust and they have like just seasonal flavors that are incredible and it's always just like a good vibe going there. Mm-hmm. They have some sandwiches that are just amazing and their tiramisu and it's just like stupid quality pizza. Like we just go there like maybe once a week or whatever. But there's a it's Thai but it's Northern Thai. I think, don't quote me on that, but it's Nong's Khao Mong Gai. And it's just a very, very simple chicken soup. But it's just, the broth is so healing. The chicken is just so moist. And it's just rice, bitter melon, and chicken in an amazing broth. And it's just the most healing thing ever. And yeah, other than that, I really like Yubi Sushi. They do an incredible just sushi menu there. It's not like fancy or anything, but the quality of the fish is really, really great. So I love that. Oh, and then my other favorite is I could keep going, but this is the one I just didn't remember right off the top of my head is Pa Di, which is also a Thai place. And it's very funny because I think they intentionally make their pad Thai not really good. So people feel inspired to try other Thai food. Because it's really, really good. And me and Chris will go all the time there.
What's your go-to order?
There's a I forget the Thai name of it right now, but it's like a very like stir-fried chicken and eggplant dish that has like a little bit of heat in it. And the eggplant just absorbs the flavor of the sauce so good. And then they have these like pork skewers that are – incredible. The first time we ordered them, we ordered like a plate to share and then we immediately ordered another plate. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's incredible. Love it.
Well, we have time for one more question for YouTube and then we'll swap to the Patreon portion.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you could magically reach into any anime and change a plot point, what would you do?
Oh my God.
The largest question of all time.
I don't know if it's, no, actually it is a plot point. Well, like it's a plot point, maybe like a character trait. Does that count?
Yeah.
One Piece. I just need Sanji to be a little less pervy. I love Sanji as a character. I think his backstories are incredible. I understand that stuff, but like sometimes they just go way over the top with it. And I'm just like,
just tone down the thirst a
little
bit.
Like just a little bit. Like there's a difference of being like a simp and a perv. And like in pre-time skip, he was much more simpy of just being like, oh my God, loving on the ladies. And then it kind of got like really ridiculous post-time skip. And it was a lot more just like, yeah.
Okay.
And I was just like, why are you doing this to my man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like on top, like if I was thinking about my favorite One Piece characters, he's not on the top three. But if they change that, he probably would be.
Right.
So I would.
That's
a
great answer.
I would change that.
That's a great answer then. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you making the time after your 5-day
I appreciate you
convention
making the time
gauntlet. I did get out of bed for this, so that's great.
We can give ourselves a round of applause yes, for doing this today.
I agree. Where can everyone find you online?
You can find me on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. You can find me on Patreon, Threads. I'm just kind of anywhere. If there's like a new social media app, I'll try to put myself on there. Mm-hmm. But
no, at least get the username, right?
Just remember, consistently inconsistent.
And that's all Bucket Brown?
It's all Bucket Brown.
B-U-K-K-I-T.
B-U-K-K-I-T Brown.
Right.
And oh, I guess on Twitch too, but I haven't been on there in a while. So,
Do you have anything coming up that you're looking forward to?
I think there's plans for me to go to Magic Con in Atlanta. So exciting. I'm excited to try my first like niche con that's like focused towards one themed item. Yeah, thing. Mm-hmm, so that'll be exciting. I'm gonna try my first fursuit build.
Fursuit.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Because I want to be one of the like the furry animal characters for Magic. So
yeah.
Gonna try.
Yeah.
We'll attempt. We'll see how that goes.
We'll check back in.
I'll be covered in fur later, like, kill me. It's fine.
And you're like coughing.
Yeah.
It's going everywhere.
Yeah. It's
going
to be great.
I love it. If right now you were teleported into the world of the last anime that you watched, how fucked would you be?